arrived and sent Mr. Basil Pilgrim, another student, to ring up the doctor. Dr. Amthill arrived 10 minutes later and found life was extinct. Miss Troy states that Gluck died a few minutes after Miss Troy arrived at the studio. Gluck made no statement before she died. Mr. Blackman closed his notebook and laid it on the table. We've taken statements from all this crowd, except, of course, the man called Garcia. Seems, he said, he'd be leaving for a hiking trip on Saturday morning and is due to turn up in London in about a week's time. He left his luggage to be forwarded, and it had all gone when Miss Troy returned on Saturday about 3 o'clock. I've got in touch with the police stations for 50 miles round and asked them to look out for this Garcia. Here's the description. About 5'9", sallow complexion, dark eyes, very thin, thick dark hair, rather long, usually dressed in old grey flannel trousers and a raincoat. Will you look at the statements before you see anybody? Alain thought for a moment.
I'll see Miss Troy first, he said.
What about the doctors? I said I'd let Amthill know as soon as you came. He's the police surgeon. He heads the list in the directory, so Mr. Pilgrim rang him first.
Very handy. Well, Mr. Blackman, if you wouldn't mind getting hold of him while I see Miss Troy.
Right. She's in the study. I've got the rest of the class penned up in the dining room with the PC on duty. They're a rum lot, and no mistake, said Blackman. There's the library door. See you in a minute.
Alain crossed the hall, tapped on the door, and walked in. It was a long room with a fireplace at the far end. The only light there was made by the flicker of flames on the book-lined walls.
Yes, said a quick voice from the shadows. A slim, dark shape, outlined by a wavering halo of light, rose from a chair by the fire.
It's me, said Alain.
Roderick Alain.
You?
There was a movement, and then a shaded lamp came to life, and he saw her clearly. Her face was white under the short black hair. Alain took her hand, held it lightly for a second, and then moved to the fire.
It's kind of you to come, said Troy.
No, it wasn't. I'm here on duty. She stiffened at once.
I'm sorry, that was stupid of me.
If I was not a policeman, Alain said, I think I should still have come.
May we sit down, please?
Do.
They sat in front of the fire.
She was a silly little creature.
Troy said.
More like a beautiful animal than a reasonable human. But to see her suddenly like that, everything emptied away. She looked faintly astonished, that was all.
It's so often like that. Astonished, but sort of knowing. Are there any relatives to be informed?
I haven't the faintest idea. She lived alone, officially.
We'll have to try and find out.
What do you want me to do now?
Asked Troy. I want you to bring this girl to life for me. I know the circumstances surrounding her death, the immediate circumstances, and as soon as my men get here from London, I'll look at the studio. In the meantime, I'd like to know if any possible explanation for this business has occurred to you.
I've no explanation, reasonable or fantastic. But there's one thing you ought to know at once. I told the class they were not to speak of it to the police. I knew they'd all give excited and exaggerated accounts of it, and I thought it better that the first statement should come from me.
I see.
When you move the throne, you will find that a dagger has been driven through the boards from underneath. On the 10th, the first morning when I set this pose, I arranged it to look as if the figure had been murdered in exactly this way. Cedric Malmsley, one of my students, was doing a book illustration of a similar incident.
She paused for a moment, looking into the fire.
The position of the figure is chalked on the floor. When the students made their experiment, they found the place where the heart would be, inside the trace on the floor. Hatchet put a pencil through the crack, and they marked the position on the underside of the throne. On Friday, we had the morning class, as usual, from 10 o'clock to 12:30, with that pose. We all lunched at 1. Then we went up to London to the private view of the Phoenix Group show. Valmy Seacliffe and Basil Pilgrim, who were engaged to be married, left in his two-seater immediately after lunch. They were going to his people's place. Catty Bostock and I left in my car at about 2:30. Hatchett, Phyllida Lee and Ormara caught the 3 o'clock. Malmsley wanted to do some work, so he stayed behind until 6, went up in the 6:15 bus and joined us later at the show.